This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وارض اللهم عن أصحابه وآل بيته جميعا. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and all the prophets and messengers and their followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, in the last few hours of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, he gave, or let's say even in the last few days of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave so many reminders and he mentioned many things that not only his companions, but his followers until the Day of Judgment must adhere to. Can you imagine how valuable these last words or last advice, somebody been teaching for 23 years, the message of his Lord. So now in the last few hours of his life or days, he will give you certain things that he considered the most important thing of his message. And maybe that's well worth a lecture or sometimes spend like or a special talk about it. But I will pick from the thing that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing related to my subject today, or my sermon today, which is he said, Ya ayyuha an-nas, ittaqu allaha fi an-nisa, ittaqu allaha fi an-nisa, usikum bin nisa'i khayra. He said, O mankind, he addressed everybody, O mankind, I remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights over Allah's, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you deal with women. You should fear God when you deal with women. I recommend you, or I urge you, to take good care of your woman. This was one of the few things that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he died. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, the best among you, the best to their families, and I am the best to my family, because he demonstrated that sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his actions, not only by saying that he is good to his family, but he was good to his family. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at his wives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, everybody who interacted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside his house, he knew how nice and gentleman he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How courteous and loving husband he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even his servant said, that's his servant. He said, Anas ibn Malik, he said, I served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 years. You can fake something for 10 minutes, but it's impossible to fake something for 10 years inside your house. He said, for 10 years I served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single time he insulted me. Not a single time he hit me. Not a single time he met me with the anger face, and not a single time asked me to do something for him, or ever asked me why did I do that. So never requested personally something, nor he ever said, why did you do that? And Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, said, مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَدِهِ شَيْئًا قَطْ لَمْ رَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا إِلَّا يَكُونَ مُجَاهِدًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He never use his hand to strike someone ever in his life. A woman, no, a servant, a slave, anything like that. The only time he used his hand to strike someone was when he was in the battlefield. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came to the masjid, to the gathering, where Muslims gathering. And he said, لَقَدْ طَافَ بِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ نِسَاءٌ كَثِيرٌ يَشْكُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ. Today, many women came to my family complaining about their husbands. أُولَٰئِكَ لَيْسُوا بِخِيَارِكُمْ. These men are not the best among you. They're not the best among you. Those who will lead their women and their wives to go and to complain about them, that they're suffering, because, in another narration explained, because they used to face some type of abuse and physical abuse from some of them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as al-Bukhari has a whole chapter in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is the most famous collect hadith book He said, "Babu karahiyati darb an-nisa," that it is dislike or something hated that hitting a woman. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim, "Istawsul bin nisa'i khayra." I urge you to be good to women. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi Sunan Abi Dawud said explicitly, "Qala la tadribu ima Allah." Do not hit women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how the relationship should be built inside the house. When he said sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created for you from among yourself spouses that you live in tranquility and peace and love and harmony. You live with them in peace and harmony and love and mercy. That's mawaddah. Mawaddah, it means love, harmony. Rahmah, mercy. That's the nature of that relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with your spouse in good terms. And it's a very general word, very general description, good. What kind of goodness? It is left because goodness can be different from one culture to another, from one time to another. You know, whatever is considered good and consider something encourage and positive, that is something you should have at home. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam not only said that, and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only limited to that, but he said also sallallahu alayhi wasallam, La yafraku mu'minun mu'mina. A believing man should not hate a believing woman. And he was referring to his wife, yani to the person's wife. You should not hate your wife. And if you don't like something in her, if you don't like a behavior, or certain a behavior that she has, رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرٌ فَإِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقٌ رَضِيَ مِنْهَا. If you hate something specific about the way she behaves in certain area, you will find other things that is good and positive that you can like. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminding us that اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ وَهَذَا كَانْ فِي أَعْظَمْ مَشْهَدْ فِي يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ فِي أَعْظَمْ خُطْبَةٍ قال اتقوا الله في النساء فإنكم أخذتموهن وفي رواية استحللتم فرجهن بكلمة الله. In one of the greatest sermon ever he gave in Mecca, in Hajj, he did this only one time. So you can imagine everything in the sermon should be very important as well. And he said in that sermon, part of what he said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, remember that these women that you have in home, at your homes, they became only lawful for you, and you became their spouses and their husbands only by the word of Allah. So make sure that you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He ordered you to be good to them. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi hadith Abdullah ibn Zam'ata, annahu qal, la yajlidu ahadukum imra'atahu jald al-abd, ثم يكون مضاجعها آخر الليل. Do not be the person who beat his wife in the daytime, then in the night he want to go sleep with her. It doesn't work this way. You beat her up in the morning, then you want to sleep with her in the night. The Prophet said, don't do that. That's not acceptable. When Luqayt ibn Saburah, which is one of the Prophet's companions, came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, إن امرأتي في لسانها بذاء. I just have a recommendation for the brother who come and sit this area. If you can, there's like plenty of space here, so when people come, they wouldn't think it's full. Just in general, every Friday when you come, let's try to fill the side first before the other side. So this man came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, إن امرأتي في لسانها شيئا من البذاء. She's, when she talks, she says bad words. She said things which is inappropriate. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and she hurts me. She said bad words, false language. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you wish, if this doesn't work between you, طلقها, divorce her. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, She has been my companion for a long time. It's not something new. And I have children. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remind her, educate her, talk to her. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if there is good in her, she will listen to you. But what the Prophet said next is surprising. He said, وَلَا تَضْرِبْ ضَعِينَتَكَ, but do not hit her. Talk to her, but do not hit her. Do not abuse her. Even if she does something, if she abuses you, you don't have the right to do that. And this hadith reported by Abi Dawood. All these ahadith, these narrations, and these texts like we have in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tradition in our religion, it's all to emphasize the importance of family. And this family must be based on peace and love and respect. That respect from both spouses. Husband respect his wife, wife respect her husband. And the same things respect to the children. Mercy, that it's seen inside the house between all the family members. Love. And this is a harmony that exists in the house. Al-Islam made that parents responsible for the way they raise their children and the way they deal with each others. And they will be judged and questioned in the day of judgment in front of Allah about everything that they have done in their homes. Don't think it's just going to go unnoticed. Even if there is no charges filed in this life, it will not just pass in the day of judgment. You will be asked if you abused your husband, or if you abused your wife, or if you abused your parents, or if you abused your children. It's very unique how it is so clear in Islam that as much as you have rights, as much as you have responsibilities, that never ever the order goes one direction. So it's all about the husbands and nothing about the wife. And it's all about the wife and nothing for the husband. And all about the parents but nothing for the children. And all about children but they know nothing about the parents. No, it's balance. So everybody has responsibilities and everybody do his share. Because we believe that family is the cornerstone of building any society. That's why Islam puts so much emphasis on the importance of it. Last week I talked to you about the importance of participating in politics and civic duties because it's an important element of building a society. And that's what Islam did, build a very strong society during the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and years after him and centuries until today. We see the impact of that. And I brought this subject specifically today because as we all know, this month, the month of October, is the month where there is awareness of domestic violence. And that's something it is so important for us to address because domestic violence on rise, not only globally, but also nationally. And not only nationally, even in the level of our city as the city of Houston, there is a very alarming numbers inside our city when it comes to domestic violence. And not only when it comes to the community in large, but also when it comes to our community, our Muslim community, there is an increasing number of complaints and problems inside the house shows that domestic violence, it's unfortunate, something that many people suffer from, and many people not speaking up about it. And in United Nations reports in 2014, they estimated that 35% of the women of the in the world are abused in their homes. 35% of every married woman is basically face a certain type of violence, a domestic violence. In the US, on an average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by their intimate partner. 20 people per minute. So in this khutbah, you can do the math. If it's a 30 minutes, that's 20 per minute. If you calculate that, basically equates to more than 10 million women and men are abused every year by their partners. That's That's scary. One out of every five women and one out of every seven men have been victims of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And here you might be interested to know, because a lot of time, often when we talk about domestic violence, we only think about women. Yes, women are more vulnerable to domestic violence, but not the only one who suffer. Men suffer as well. Children suffer as well. Even though the language of our law, if you look at it, it's almost designed and made as if it is only designed for female. And that's because of the history behind this legislation act that it took place. No doubt they're more vulnerable to receive domestic violence. On a typical day, three or more than 20,000 phone calls placed in a typical day. Basically, 20,000 phone calls placed to domestic violence hotline nationwide. That's just an average day. The presence of guns in a house where domestic violence taking place, that increases the risk of homicide by 500%. Since we live in Texas, a lot of people have guns. That's why we have a high rate of home suicide. And many studies show that it's related to the existence of guns in the house. Intimate partner violence occur for 15% of all violent crime in the United States. Women between the age of 18 to 24 are the most vulnerable age for abuse at home. In another study I saw that actually women between the age of 25 to 34 are more likely to be abused. And comes next, the age brackets 18 to 24. So even as she goes older, she is more likely to face violence at home. And that's quite scary. 19% of domestic violence involves a weapon. Domestic victims is basically correlated with high rate of depression and suicidal behavior. Only 34% of people who are injured by intimate partner receive medical care for their injuries because they are worried to go to the hospital, something to be reported. So 34%, that means you have very big percentage of people will get injured, but they will even be afraid to go to witness or to receive medical care. You know what's the sad part? Is what's coming. It's all sad, but it's the worst of it, in my opinion. That one in every 15 children in the United States are exposed to this violence that take place at home. 90% of these children are eyewitnesses of the domestic violence that take place at home. In August 5th, last year, 2015, two boys watched as their father, Dayton Norwood, shot and killed their mother, Sherry Roberts. Then he killed himself. Where was that? In the Woodlands. Just mentioned the name of somebody. Remember that in the news. In the very next day, August 6th, Michelle Baker was sliced by a machete in a park here in our area by her boyfriend in front of her children. That's in Montgomery County. It's the first next time. And I can go with you in this crazy stories of how children witness this violence and the fight between the family. I once will never forget, got a phone call from one of the kids here in our area telling me, Sheikh, I'm sick of my mother and my basically stepfather fighting, hitting each other. I call the police on them almost every week. Tell me what to do. Should I get out of the house? Sheikh, help me. So the kids are really the victims of this. And the problem is, the biggest problem in this whole thing, that if we have a child who witnessing that, he basically caught in this cycle of doom. That statistically speaking, that most likely, I think there is somewhere I read 80% of those who witness domestic violence at home, they will be themselves abuser in the future to their spouses. And they will be involved in somehow of abuse. So this cycle of doom continue. You know, in Texas, we rank number 8 when it comes to the highest rate of domestic violence. Number 1 in the list, if you can make your wild guess, it's Alaska. And 2nd will be New Mexico. 3rd will be Maine. 4th, Vermont. And I only brought the 5th because we have somebody from there, Wisconsin. That's the top 5th, the 5 states when it comes to domestic violence as report the report of 2013. And our state comes in rank number 8. In Houston, in Harris County, the combined number of domestic violence cases filed in 2013 and 14 were 20,000 cases. That's just in Harris County. And believe me, these numbers don't tell the full stories, the full story, because there's so many domestic violence cases never were reported. The number of women killed in Harris County alone by husbands or boyfriend has increased 20%. That's alarming. In Houston area has always experienced jump in murder suicide. 23 or 32 lives claimed in 2015. Harris County domestic violence cases by numbers, I'm just going to get you the last number, which is in 2014, we have 10,000 cases was documented. Sorry, charged, not cases filed. The charges were 10,278. Because the filing cases is way more than the charges. Not every case will go all the way to basically carry by prosecutors. That led me to say, it is so important to know what is domestic violence is. And I'm not going to go into technical definition by the United States law. You know, this is something maybe other time for it. But what I want you to be very aware of, that domestic violence means several things. And keep that in mind because that's an eye-opening. Because some of us may be involved in some domestic violence at home, not realizing that he or she is. Number 1 is physical abuse. And this type of domestic violence is the common one where people literally hurt someone, beat someone, injure someone. And it can start from something like slapping or punching all the way to killing or choking someone, which is also very common. Woman comes and show in this office, how many times would I witness, or my colleague, Sheikh Ibrahim, witness when a woman comes and just show you their neck and tell you, hey, look, almost kill me. Another form of domestic violence that exists are your kids. You beat them, you hate them, you hurt them. I read about a case in one country, not in the United States, but in one country where a father tied his son's hand with a rope. Guess what? Forgot about it until the hand turned blue. No blood goes to the hand. Ended up impaired. Basically, they cut one of his hands out. That he lost one of his hands. All this because the kids, he painted, you know, a new couch that the father got. Can you imagine how that father would feel in the rest of his life when his son would say, "Yeah, Dad, just give me my hand back and I will not touch your couch." You know, hitting kids and beating them, it is unfortunately in many cultures something, it's okay. It's a way of reprimanding them. It is sad. In Eid, I saw in Eid, this Eid, just last Eid, in Eid al-Adha, in the prayer. Someone just, you know, grab his son and physically really abused the child. just because he doesn't, he's dragging his feet. Just a child, talking about two years old. Unfortunately, this is something in some cultures considered okay, but it's not okay. Another form of domestic abuse, sexual abuse. And sexual abuse, when you force your partner into something that they are not capable of. You know, a lot of people think that a woman must, every time she called to having intercourse with her husband, she say, yeah, yes, but it's, if she said no, she cannot, it means no. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah only ordered you to do what you're capable of. Also, part of the sexual abuse that exists when you force your partner to a certain sexual act that they don't want to do, or they don't feel comfortable to do. And because of the sensitivity and its kind of mixed audience, I can't tell you that how many cases I personally have exposed to and witnessed it of sexual abuse. There's no doubt about that. Also, one of the form of the domestic abuse, emotional abuse. That when you make your partner always live in fear, when you make somebody always scared, you know, they have very low self-esteem. This is a goal of some men when they get their marriage, just to destroy his basically wife's self-esteem, or she destroy his self-esteem, or their children's self-esteem, just to control them. Or to emotionally abuse them by making them have no sense of worthiness. Make them feel they're worthless. You know, belittling them. All this is an emotional abuse. Economical abuse is another form of taking their money by force. You know, making them not suffering, don't have access to money. Another form of abuse, which is psychological abuse. And that's close to the emotion, but psychological abuse by intimidating them, isolating them, making them feel that they cannot be part of the society and the community just for the purpose of control. Because all what is domestic abuse about, all what is the abuser about, is about controlling. It's a controlling behavior. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our family. أقول ما سمعتم استغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Domestic abuse should not be justified. Cannot be justified. There is nothing can justify violence. Domestic abuse, or the abuser usually would say, you know, it's not my fault. She brought it to herself. You know, he's the one who pushing for it. You know, it's cruising for bruising. You know, it's always like, you know, it's not my fault. You know what? That's all nonsense. No, it is your fault. You're the one who, abuser's fault. And we have to make that very, very basically clear. Also, it can happen to anyone. I know domestic abuse happened by the hand of very religious people. And people not religious at all don't believe in anything. It happened in Muslim community, it happened in non-Muslim community, it happened among white and black and Arab and Desis and Hispanic and every culture. Yes, there is more noticeable of abuse in certain culture over others, but it happened across the board. It happened by the young and it happened by the old. It happened to the young and it happened to the old. So we have to understand this fact. Okay? Keep in mind that although victims domestic violence are overwhelmingly female, but as I said, there is men also abused in this case. I noticed that this is cases happen a lot when there is low level of education. When their children themselves experience something, some kind of domestic abuse in their childhood. When there is personally, it's not stable. He needs a therapy. He's like basically go through maybe war zones or been abused or sexually molested or something happened in their past. So they're not stable psychologically. Also, it happened a lot for those who are addicted to alcohol. A lot of those are drugs. They are abuser to their family. Also, it happened a lot for those who cheat in their spouses. When these kind of environment, there's a lot of domestic abuse happen. Also, it happened a lot to those who do not understand the simple fact, which is to respect women. When people have no respect for women, they are more receptive to, or a lot more likely to abuse women. I think in our community specifically, I want to end this in just 1 minute, quickly. In our Muslims, women, they are also more vulnerable to domestic abuse. They have certain things might not be shared by many other communities. I'll say, for example, many Muslim community comes from countries where cultures make it forbidden, a big taboo for a woman to speak about what's happening in the house. So she will be abused and abused and abused, but she cannot open her mouth. That's not a loyal woman. That's culturally what they believe. A loyal woman, she will take the beat and shut her mouth. Loyal woman cannot speak about what happened in the house. So that culture have made them more receptive to receive this abuse. Also, because of certain bad also culture and habits, like being sarcastic. You know, there is people in their culture, it's embedded in. They make fun of kids. They are very sarcastic when they talk to their family or their children. You know, maybe it sounds funny, but it's not funny. It hurts. And that's not right. Another reason, many people sometimes use religion to justify the violence. He said, oh, in Islam, it's okay. It's not haram to hurt your woman. And that's absolutely not true. That's no justification for that. I walk to somebody's house, that's me. Somebody's on, I say, whip. And he has underneath the whip, the hadith in the living room, a whip. And he wrote underneath of it a hadith, a statement that they claim that the Prophet said, put the whip in the middle of the house so people behave well. Literally. So I said to him, by the way, this hadith is not authentic. The Prophet never said that. And even it is, it's not like, you know, it is not something you put it in the top of the in the middle of the house. It's like this guy who his wife, you know, maybe, you know, he didn't like the way she handled the kitchen or the food. So he wrote for her, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا فَلْيُتْقِنْهِ. When you do something, you should make it perfect. And he put the hadith in her kitchen. Using the religion to justify his need. And she was a smart woman. She took that basically poster and she put it somewhere else. Anyway, a lot of women as well afraid to speak up in the Muslim community because of their legal status. They afraid to lose the green card or to lose their legal status if they speak up against her husband. Sometimes because they don't know the culture in America, they don't know the resources, they don't know where to go. Unfortunately, many times when you get something like that, that typical imam would say to the woman, be patient. Be patient, it doesn't mean to take the head or the beat. No, that's not being patient. Be patient, I would say, but just don't allow someone to hit you. That's why I think if we want to, you know, if we want to deal with this, we have to be open about that. Speak about going to therapy, admit your mistake, say I need help, and also making sure that the resources are available for our community to know. And we have a nationwide hotline for domestic abuse. Our states, you know, it's ranked one of the top kind of the current category C when it comes to how serious the states take domestic violence reports. But consider what I see in reports in Houston. They take this very, very seriously. We should, as a community, provide financial help. You know, provide shelters for women. There is 13 organizations in Houston provide shelters for women, 741 bed. You know what? That's barely cannot cover 50% of the need that we have in Houston. We have to spread the culture of love, mercy, respect. Finding marriage counseling. Learning how to solve your problem. Teaching kids from the early age, those exposed to domestic violence, go through therapy from the early age. You know what? If you have so much problems like that, just get divorced. Get over with it. Don't live together. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Either you live in goodness or you leave in good terms. That's what Allah said in the Quran. Also, finally, make sure that you report that. If someone use and abuse someone, deserve to go to jail, let him or her go to jail. And I'm very firm about that, and I will say there's nothing wrong with that. That's what should be done. Let the law take its course. Because some people need to learn their lessons in a hard way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring love and harmony to our homes, protect our families. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا وعف عنا وأكرم نزلنا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى صلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.